for God's call to Italy, for a family who loves and follows God, for the opportunity to share the gospel in TV and radio, for humble beginnings with believers willing to sacrifice all, for the birth and growth of a local Baptist church, for a church building bought and remodeled, for God's promises for the future. 50 years of preaching the word, beginning with the anchorman from Baptist Bible College of Pennsylvania, Clark Summit University. We first heard the challenge to serve God in Italy through a former Baptist missions missionary to Italy, Bill Fuskell. But we were married and were candidates for Liberia when the call to Italy came loud and clear. I thank God for Rachel, who shared my call to ministry in Italy at this time. We thank God for our family, a family that loves God. Jonathan, born in 1975, is now a co-pastor of the church we founded. The Whitmans, Noah, Jonathan, Melody, and Ava. Jeremy, born in 1978, is now a deacon in the church. The Whitmans, Francesca, Sophia, Giacomo, and Jeremy. Joshua, born in 1980, is now starting a church at Imola. The Whitmans, Josh and Sarah, Rebecca, Samuel, Naomi, Abigail, and Benjamin. Elizabeth, born in 1983, now the wife of Daniel Ransom, who also pastors the church. Here she is with her future sister-in-law, Francesca. The Ransoms, Daniel, Elizabeth, Christina, Elisa, Mark, Sarah, and Anna. We started all alone in 1975. We preached the gospel in every possible way. Right when we began to get discouraged, God opened to us an incredible door, a daily gospel program in television. Since February 1979, our program, The Bible Today, has aired an average of twice daily. That is nearly 30,000 telecasts. In 1980, God provided finances to start Radio Luce. On June 30th, 2019, we were forced to close, partially due to the lack of $3,000 a month support. We praise God for many people who came to know Christ through Radio Luce in these nearly 40 years. Nearly half of our church came that way. After 10 years of ministry, we had our first two baptisms, one of which was Jonathan. Our children very early served in church with the music. Little by little, the church grew, and after 33 years, our hall of 950 square feet was just too small. In 2004, our 20 members voted to buy a corner lot of 45,000 square feet with this 9,000 square feet building for $500,000. Miraculously, my bank offered us a $400,000 loan, and many of God's people sent in gifts, which enabled us to go forward by faith. Many brothers, Italian and foreign, came together to make a wonderful place of worship out of a sweater factory. On January 31st, 2020, we made our last payment. Now that we have a lovely church building, we need to build up the Church of the Saints in number and in maturity, in service for God's glory. We desire to be an army of God's servants that presses on in holiness and service, the preaching of the word takes preeminence. There are many ways to grow and serve, but we must start with worship, Bible study, and prayer. We serve through our ministries. Our Sunday school ministry. Presenting the gospel to these littles, one by one, and together, growing and maturing in their faith. Then there's our summer day camp ministry. These are our most important investments for the future of our church. The Theological Academy is also of utmost importance in training our men for future ministry. The prison ministry currently in two prisons is demanding but very rewarding. Three people have been trained to carry on in my absence. I will continue to help in my retirement. Our ministry to the elderly is also important. There are always shut-ins that need to be visited. We have an active hospital visitation ministry. We also have a soccer outreach ministry. And our latest ministry group plans for a new church in our province. This project is currently on hold as the church and pastor consider my status as pastor emeritus. We are committed to build a strong local church from which to branch out as the Lord leads in the future. Each person is a trophy of God's grace. Our congregation is half Italian and half from 15 nations of the world. With God's help, we will carry on until the Lord's return. Jesus may come today. Are you ready? Greetings from the next generation of missionaries to Italy. Thank you for your support.
Few moments we'll be going into the word, but in preparation for that, I would like to play a song. We first heard it, now you're going to know how old we are. I first heard it when we were on deputation in 1972. And the name of the song is People Need the Lord. I had the words, and somehow I dislocated them, and I'll just explain it like this. It's a song that seeks to help us to be challenged by the fact that all around us are people who are suffering, people who need the Lord in their lives, and the Lord who has supplied everything for them and has prepared salvation and is calling to repentance. But sometimes we need to get shaken out of our little world, our comfortable world, and be willing to be used of the Lord to reach these people for the Lord, because, as the song says, people need the Lord.
Thank you.
I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to this display table, which you couldn't miss when you walked in, right? No comments about the old picture, okay? We try not to age more than we have to, but you know, that's something we're all going through. And the only alternative is much better, actually, to go to be with the Lord, okay? But on the table, would you find that notebook? There's a little notebook. If you do not presently receive our monthly or every 6 weeks email update, and you would like to, you can sign up for that. Write your name and the email very legibly. Now, the Lord said that not one jot or tittle will disappear from the law until all is accomplished. So that's how important a jot and a tittle is. And I tell you, if you put a point and it's supposed to be a comma or something else that is not precise, or worse, as we read it, and it's, you know, Monday we're reading this, and what's that letter? Is that an L or a 1? What is that? If we don't get it right, you won't get the letter, okay? So be very careful when you write this down, because you'll get newsletters from us. And the big thing on the horizon is quite a ways down there, but the Lord willing, in the fall of 2022, we may all be with the Lord by then, I believe, but in case we're still here, we'll be doing our third last Italian Christian history tour. And I've said, this is the last one, where I have more people always asking me. So just put that on your calendar, October of 2022. And if you're on our mailing list, you will find out details about that. Our new prayer card is there, our new and our last one. On the back are updated pictures of our children, which already by September are going to be outdated because we have a new little grandbaby being born in September and another one in November. So, but this is the last card we're printing, okay? So help yourself, and we appreciate your prayer for us. I always say, please don't put it on your fridge. Everybody says, well, I put mine on the fridge. Because there's a little bit of osmosis going on, and I've gained 15 pounds since we got back to the States, so I think that might be the reason. So anyways, you put it on the fridge, go ahead. So there also my book I had last furlough, and I know most of you have all seen it, but if anyone has not seen our book on His Story in Italy, what God has done over these years, there are a few copies on the table for a free will love gift, and you might be blessed through them. I think that takes care of it. Nice to have Rachel's sister Nyoma with us today. We don't get to see family too much, so nice to have her with us. As I thought about today, I want to do something that will encourage you. By the way, we are praying with you every day about your need for a pastor, under shepherd, and we know that God is going to answer that prayer soon. But meanwhile, we all have a job to do, don't we? And I've been blessed in the States. I'm now pastor emeritus of our church. And I don't know what emeritus means, but since there's an emeritus pope, that must be pretty important, okay? So I'm a pastor emeritus. And what that has meant is a lot of other people have stepped up to do jobs. And I know there are a lot of jobs being done by very few people in this church, but that's the way it always is. But I trust today's message will encourage us all to get in on the action. And I'd like to have you open your Bibles to Jonah. You know, when you think about a missions message, you usually think about the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, Silas, and so many wonderful things that are written down for us in the book of Acts. But there were also missionaries in the Old Testament. And this is a very sad story. Jonah, interesting, his name means dove. You think a dove is a symbol of peace, comfort, That was his name, Dove, Jonah. And you're talking about the 8th century before Christ, 7th century before Christ, and in a time of difficulty in Israel. And to think, as difficult as things were in Israel, God was concerned to share the news of the gospel, salvation through the Lord, to a pagan people. You know, so many times we think, well, when America is evangelized, then we'll worry about somewhere around the world. But God's concern, even though the Israel was decadent, there were many problems in Israel, God's burden was to send the message of salvation through his name by means of Jonah. And Jonah 1:1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." God's call comes in many ways. As we read his word, he speaks to us. As we look around us, as we open our eyes to the needs of people around us, God places burden on our heart. And out of the clear blue sky here, God called Jonah, a prophet, to go to a pagan people with the message of repentance and faith. But first of all, sadly, in this book of Jonah, which talks of us about the sovereignty of God, there are many, many examples. It talks about the mercy of God. God's mercy is just seen over and over in this book. But the principal thing, as I look at it today, this book talks about God's call. The first thing, God's call is rejected by Jonah. Have you ever done that? Has God ever spoken to your heart about saying a word of encouragement to someone, about sharing the gospel with someone, about going out of your way to help someone, about setting aside your busy schedule to do something for someone who needs your help? Has the Lord ever spoken to you about that and you've said, "No, really, Lord, I'm just too busy today"? I have. It's a sad thing when God puts a burden on our heart and we say no. Well, God said to Jonah, "Arise and go." Well, Jonah obeyed half of that command. He got up, okay? He got up, but he went the wrong direction. Instead of going, which ended up being about a two-day trip, about a two-month trip for him to go to Nineveh, which was to the east, which, by the way, Nineveh was founded by Nimrod. You remember his name in the Old Testament in Genesis 10? A very ungodly man, a very ungodly culture, a people who were the arch enemies of Israel. God said to Jonah, "I want you to go there and preach to them that I am going to destroy their city." When Jonah was afraid, he didn't want to go there. He knew what they did to Jewish people. So he got on a boat and went west to Tarshish. And actually, it was about 2,000 miles to the west where he was going. But he rejected God's call. And it is so sad when a child of God, a person who knows salvation by grace, is challenged about the needs of a ministry, this church, or someplace around the world, is challenged about the needs of people to hear the Lord, and they say, "No, I'm not going to do it. Leave it to somebody else. Leave it to someone else." But that's what Jonah did. He said, "I'm not going there." He went the opposite direction. But we see in this book that didn't work out too well for Jonah, did it? Really? Because God's call is coming to us from the creator of the universe. And when God says do it, he will get it done. Whether we want to cooperate or not, he will make us cooperate. So God's call then to Jonah is reinforced by what? Well, Jonah got on a boat, headed west, and the Lord, the creator of the universe, sent a storm that these experienced sailors had never experienced. And they got right down to the place where they, to their pagan gods, had to decide who was at fault. And by casting lots and so on, they finally figured out that it really was Jonah. And you know, the book of Proverbs says the die is cast into the lap, but the results are from the Lord. There's nothing by chance, believe me. God is in control. And God wanted to reveal to those sailors that they were harboring a fugitive from God's will. And you know, if God burns your heart to do something for him, and you flee from that responsibility, you shirk that responsibility, it will not go well with you. I can guarantee that. I can't tell you how many people I have spoken to over these years, more years than I would like to admit. People have come to me and said, you know, when I was a young person, God called me to be a missionary. I knew he wanted me to be a missionary, but I fell in love with this guy. He wasn't saved, but I said, well, he'll get saved. No, he didn't get saved. And they lived a life of misery, knowing that they had missed the train. They had missed God's calling in their life. Well, that's where Jonah was. But God organized things, came to the place where they threw Jonah overboard. And in his prayer, we'll look at it in a second, he talks about going down to hell. I mean, he was deep. He was going down deep. I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience of being almost drowned. Obviously, nobody here is drowned because we're all here. But it's a fearful thing to be in the middle of the water and not be able to get out. It happened to me over in the Holy Land. We were tubing down the Jordan River. And we came around a bend, and there was a tree branch right there. And it knocked me off my tube. And I found myself in a whirlpool. Not nice round one like this, but a round one like a washing machine. And I couldn't get out of it. My wife was looking back, where'd he go? And finally, I was able to stick my arm up and hook on to the limb and pull myself up. But it's a scary thing. But as he is going down, 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 God in his mercy, what did he do? He says, I'm going to give this guy another chance. He sent a fish that swallowed Jonah. And then, so here we see God's call reinforced, because God said, Jonah, I have a purpose for you, and I want you to go. Do you understand yet? So the Lord sent this great fish, and then he spent 3 days and three nights, something that I understand. I'm no scholar, but from other scholars have shared with me that this is a phrase in Hebrew which does not mean 3 days and three nights, literal 24-hour times three. But it was a period of 3 days. And the same thing we see in the New Testament when Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, he was not talking about three 24-hour periods, but part of 3 days. And that's how we can come up with a Good Friday or whatever to go to Sunday. Anyways, the Lord protected him. And in that time, in his mess that he created, he should just have been happy, and he was happy to be alive in the middle of this fish. What did he do? He prayed. Isn't that good? Isn't that good when how bad you've messed up, how far you've gone, when the Lord sends you to the point of desperation, oh yeah, I can pray. And so he prays. So he prays. And this prayer is incredible. It's out of Psalm. It's very similar, at least, to Psalm 19, Psalm 18, Psalm 118, and Psalm 120. You find this exact phrase. So, I mean, the Psalms were written before this time. So he is in his prayer of desperation. He was probably repeating to the Lord, as it's good for us to do as well when we pray, repeat the Psalms. I called to the Lord out of my distress. He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, brought up my life from the pit, O God, my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Have you ever had an experience like that, where because of your own stupidity, because of your own disobedience, you found yourself in a real mess? But wasn't it wonderful in that moment to cry out for mercy, to ask God's help, to ask his forgiveness, to recognize the wrong you had done? Now, look at Jonah's conversion in this moment. He was already a man of God, but he needed to clean up some things in his life. But when he realized how that God had preserved his life when he didn't deserve it, he looked to God and said, okay, I know I'm going to see you. I know you're going to get me out of this. And so the fish asked, after Jonah had prayed this prayer of repentance, acknowledging, not making excuses. We do that, don't we? Well, if they hadn't done, yeah. Not making excuses, acknowledging his sin, his disobedience. The Lord, the creator of the universe, took Jonah, led the fish to vomit him up on the dry land. It's not a very eloquent word, but you know, sin is messy, and sin has consequences. And I'm sure he never forgot this experience. So the third point is God's call is repeated. Noah, do you remember? I came knocking on your door and you said no. You actually went the opposite direction. Do you remember that? In chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us a second chance? If for us it was one strike and you're out, or three strikes and you're out, but it's not like that. Our God, when we repent, when we acknowledge our sin, when we acknowledge our mistakes, he is a forgiving God, a God of mercy, great mercy, giving Jonah a second chance. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Now here we don't see in the text about probably 2 months walking to get over there to Nineveh. But he took off. He wasn't going to waste any more time. because God's call had been repeated. And you know, when God speaks to us about something in our life that we need to do for him, and we kind of put it on the back burner, and we're not faithful, we maybe forget about it, but when he brings that back to us in force, it's time to move. It's time to move and not mess around. So he took off. Well, he goes this whole distance to Nineveh, which in those days, it took 3 days to walk across the city. I was looking at the circumference, and it was very similar to what the city of Rome is today. There's a road, it's called the Ring Road, that goes around Rome, and that road is about 60 miles just to go around. And so to walk straight across it is a far piece. Well, he started walking, and he walked for 1 day. So he was almost at the center of the city, and then he started preaching. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, that wasn't a very comfortable message. And sometimes we have messages from God's word that we need to give to people that might even upset them. When we talk about sin, when you talk about disobedience, when you talk about coming judgment, one of my fellow missionaries years ago said, people usually need to get mad before they will get saved. I mean, when you realize that all the religious thing you have done all your life was a waste, was for nothing, actually made God very upset, that is not a good thing to tell somebody. But they need to hear that. They need to hear that. I don't know how many times we had people who seemed interested, but when they realized that what they really had to do to follow Christ was to repent and abandon all of that baggage that they had from the past, it was too big of a sacrifice. I've got too much invested in this thing here. And they couldn't let it go. Well, he preached God's judgment. And once again, they're in 40 days. You know, it's interesting, a great study in the Bible, 40 days. It always talks of judgment, the flood, 40 days in the wilderness. It's really there a lot. And he says 40 days. And I'm sure that they didn't want to wait around to the 39th day to see what was going to happen. They were touched. These pagan people were moved by this message. And Jonah was very surprised. Has that ever happened to you? I remember when I was in high school, there was a guy I really wanted to witness to him, but I was scared to death. He was a big guy. He was a big athlete. He was a rough guy, drank and smoked, and well, he was a rough guy. And I was on the same ball team he was on. But I just didn't really have courage to talk to him about the Lord. We graduated, went our separate ways. After about 5 years, he wrote me a letter and said, Fred, I want to just thank you for your testimony. I hadn't said a word. I want to thank you for your testimony. I've gotten saved. And he became a missionary and a servant of the Lord. But sometimes when we see God do a miraculous work in the heart of a person, we are surprised. Jonah was not only surprised, he was mad. He says, God, I came here to tell these people that you are going to destroy them, so do it. He goes, well, they repented. Why should I destroy them? And so many times when we look at people, we judge people, we say, oh, wouldn't he make a good Christian? The chances are, he probably will never become a Christian because he's too good. Doesn't see his need. Doesn't see himself as being a sinner. We need to look at the person who is the farthest away from God and start praying for that person and say, Lord, that sinner would make a great Christian. When God's grace is abundant, his glory is lifted up, in the testimony of people whose lives are changed by the gospel. And you can understand the third point is God's call in the life of Jonah was rewarded, because his preaching brought results. You know, that doesn't always happen. Actually, it does always happen, because God's word will either save or condemn. God's word will not return void. When a person receives it, repents, accepts Christ as Savior, God's word saves them. But when they resist and flee and want nothing to do with it, God's word is still there, and God's word is going to judge them. They will be judged by that. But here God's call is rewarded, and this disobedient, disciplined, but now redirected missionary has seen people repent after his preaching, and he's upset about it. God's call was rewarded. He saw something happen. Well, then, in chapter 4, we see another episode that they don't usually talk about when they teach children in Bible school, but I think they need to talk about this too, if it's important. After this all happened, he was so upset that these enemies, arch enemies of Israel, had repented and were not going to get destroyed. Actually, he went up on the side hill to watch, hoping maybe God would change his mind, hoping to see some action. And here we see God's call regretted. He regretted having obeyed God, because God had used him to bring salvation to this terrible city. I can't imagine people who, after a period of time in the ministry, regret having done that for God and go back and do something else and just are not happy about the time they invested serving God. I can't imagine that. Now, there are many reasons, health reasons. There are many reasons why people have to discontinue ministries, and I know it's a very sad, sad time for them. I just praise God that he's given us all these years, and I have to say, we don't have one regret. One. We've had many disappointing times, believe me. If I get a time sometime, I'll share with you some things I wrote down about things we might have done differently over the years, but we have no regrets. And when you answer God's call and you're faithful in what he's called you to do, you should have no regrets. I just grew up with a plaque in my home when we were kids. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And you want to see heaven filled with people that you have brought to the Lord. I can't wait. What a wonderful time that's going to be. So Jonah, unfortunately, regretted God's call. And, it's so interesting what he says to God. The Lord, he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, verse 2 of chapter 4, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? Didn't I tell you this, Lord? I did not want to go because I knew that you are a merciful God. I knew you'd do something here, and I did not want to come here. Isn't that what I told you? I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. This is such an incredible word. Steadfast love is a word which means literally love or faithfulness, unfailing faithfulness to the covenant, to the promise. God is always faithful to his promise to his people. Excellent, steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. I knew you were the kind of God who would change his mind about killing these people if they repented, and they did. Therefore, now, Lord, please take my life. You wouldn't kill them, kill me. Okay. He was so disappointed that he had answered God's call. That he'd given his life to God. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Are you thinking right, Jonah? In other words, he said, really? Really? So Jonah went out of the city, sat up on this, waiting, hoping to see God destroy the city. And the Lord showed his mercy again, because it was very hot in the Middle East. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, go, but not in July or August, believe me, you'll die. It's hot over there. But God appointed a plant. And this word, appointed a plant, is the same word where in the first chapter it says God appointed a big fish. He sent him there. So God appointed this plant to grow up. And so Jonah at least was sitting in the shade in his disobedience, in his bad attitude. He was sitting there. And he was so happy. He was so happy for this plant. Thousands of people down in that city who were bound for hell, who had repented, and he was angry. But now he's happy about this plant. This reminds me of people who love animals more than they love people. And to love animals, and they are pro-abortion, for example. And they love animals. Save the whales, kill the babies. Yeah. Jonah was sitting glad because of the plant, but God appointed, here's the same word again, as he sent the whale, or the lard fish, as he sent the plant, now he sent a worm. And that worm, during the night, is just going to eat away at this plant, and he wakes up in the morning and it's dead. And he was so upset. He's upset about this plant because it gave him comfort. And he wasn't upset about his attitude about those people who needed to repent, and they did repent and they were saved. So it says, it's better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? He says, really? Really, Jonah? Are you angry about the plant? And he says, yes, I have a right to be angry about that plant. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. I put it there for you. Nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Easy come, easy go. You did nothing. I did it all for you. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't know their right hand from their left? There's a lot of confusion here if it really means 120,000 infants, which would make this city like 800,000 or 1 million people. Or if it's just talking about the fact that they were dead in sins and they were far from God, they were without hope. 120,000 people, that's a lot. We live in a city of 180,000 people in Perugia, and that's a pretty big place. But Jonah, you're upset about a silly plant, and you don't think I should have pity on this city and all these people? Here we see God's call reasoned. God explains, why did he send Jonah in the first place? And you know, we think when God calls us to serve him, it's not so we can be great. It's not so that we can feel good about ourselves. It is not so people look up to us and, wow, that's wonderful. When God calls us to do something, it's because he has mercy and pity on people who do not know him still. And he wants us to be a part of that. And when we back off of God's call in our life, when we refuse to get involved in serving him, in reaching out to others, what we're saying is, God, it doesn't matter to me at all that those people are going to hell. It doesn't matter at all. Well, it matters to God. It matters to God. So God had to explain to Jonah why he had called him to go there in the first place. Don't I have a right to have pity on these people? And it's so wonderful when we follow God to realize that he is using us for his glory. There are so many, I've gone on long enough, there are so many stories about God has gone over these years. I just want to close with one real special one. I have a prison ministry. I go to prison twice a week. I don't have to sign in because I have a card. I show my card and I go in. One prison I go to, I go through 10 or 12 locked gates, through those gates to have time with the prisoners. And in that group of men, people who have done terrible things, there's a man who grew up in an evangelical church. And when he was about 12, he said to his mother, "I'm not going anymore. Don't pray for me. I don't want anything to do with it." He got involved in what had been the mafia of Naples called the Camorra and became a killer. If somebody needed snuffed out, he did it. He killed over 50 people in his life. Well, one night he was sent because there was a group of Africans. There was a band, a gang of 8 Africans who were selling drugs in their part of the city. They had warned them, "This is our territory, get out." They kept selling. So one night he went with some other guys in the gang, shot 7 of them. Only 7 because the one guy wasn't there. Well, they got arrested. 3 life sentences. He'll never get out. But when he got in prison, something like Jonah in the belly of fish, God spoke to his heart. He got saved, repented. He called his family in to share that he'd accepted Christ. They were so excited. He just wants to read the word, study the word, testify for the Lord. He goes to the dining hall and he prays before he eats. And one day he was praying before his meal, and then he looked up and way across the dining hall, he saw an African guy praying. So he ran over and said, "Oh, are you a Christian too?" And the guy turned, "Yeah." And they got talking. That African was number 8 that night. He wasn't there that night. Harry had been killed. But the man who was supposed to kill him now is looking at him, and they're brothers in Christ. And they've had a wonderful ministry of testimony in the prison. That's just one of many, 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 many joys God's given us. But we need to remember, and you remember, if God calls you to do something, it's not for you. It's for God, for his glory. But it's because there are people on that other end to whom God wants to show his mercy. And we need to obey him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the challenge that it is to us. Help us today to glorify you and to be a witness. Be ready to speak up. Be ready to step up and do what you want us to do to serve you and to be faithful to you in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my wife and I are going to get out of here pretty quickly because we were supposed to arrive over to Portville at 11 o'clock. So this preacher went long, so sorry.